Welcome to Entrepreneurial Insights. I'm Pearson Crutcher, and this is Jay Healy, my co-host. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Pearson.
And today we're here with Leda Nutt, who is the founder and CEO of NuttBio. Leda just recently won our Next Big Thing pitch competition. She has a very, very impressive company. So I'm excited to be with her today to tell y'all all about it. Welcome, Leda. So excited to have you. This is going to be so much fun today. I'd like to just get started by where did you come from? Where did you grow up? And then kind of let's start there and then we'll bring it into today and your company.
So, sure. Let's start from the very beginning. Let's do it. So I was born in Gwangju, South Korea. My father was stationed in South Korea during the Vietnam War, and he met my mom and they made me. And then they came back here and
came back to Memphis.
No, not Memphis, back to the U.S. So my dad was a career Air Force. So we lived multiple cities up until third grade. Mm-hmm. And then my dad was about to be transferred to Germany. And we as kids weren't excited to go to Europe because we were too young to understand how awesome it would be at the time. Mm-hmm. So my dad retired in Alamogordo, New Mexico, because it was a safe little town to raise his two girls.
And my sister lived there. My brother-in-law's Air Force.
Oh my goodness, this is a small world.
It's a cool town.
It is a cute town. It has a lot of personality for sure.
Yeah.
And so I grew up and graduated high school in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Loved it, and great town and great people, and then went to Texas for college and grad school.
Okay.
And how did you wind up in Memphis?
So that's a great question, too. So I basically did my PhD in Houston at MD Anderson Cancer Center, and then I went to Sweden at the Karolinska for a year to really hone up my skills about mitochondria. And then I moved to Duke, where I completed my postdoc with my postdoc mentor, Sally Kornbluth, who is now the president of MIT. But while I was there, I met my now husband, Jan. And after I finished my postdoc, you have to apply for faculty positions. And I applied all over. And St. Jude was generous enough to give me a position. And it was an amazing experience.
So should we call you doctor?
No, it's okay. Just call me Leda. Because Dr. Nutt, let's just avoid that joke.
that's very funny. Yes. Well, we're very, very glad that it all took you and we brought you to Memphis. So tell us a little bit about your company.
Absolutely. So, I'll just start a little bit before that with the journey. So
that'd be great,
I spent my entire career in academia, and an academic scientist knows how to solve problems, but differently than an entrepreneur. And so after I left St. Jude, the University of Memphis has a program with Epicenter called Patents to Products, and they help scientists take their ideas and spin them out into startups. And to be honest with you, without that program behind me, I couldn't have done this. I couldn't be here now, because it was a hard transition in the mindset from being in academia, not really, the type of experiments that you do, you're doing them for your peers. You don't realize it, but you are, because they're judging you. Whereas I like it being an entrepreneur, the market judges you. And so it's a big difference how you design that experiment and how you answer your questions. So,
there's a lot of details to share, but the one thing all of our listeners want to know is, what is your product?
Oh, absolutely. So it's a non-surgical solution for castration. So what people don't realize is that bacon that everybody loves, the piglets, when they're males, are 3 to 5 days old, are castrated without anesthesia. And so we've developed a product to replace that. It's safe. It's not harmful at all to the animal. It's not painful at all. So we believe that this is a new addition to the industry to help out that poor little piglet's welfare.
Can we just use the phrase better bacon?
We could. Absolutely. I love it. Better bacon. Who doesn't like better bacon, right?
And I feel like your name is quite appropriate for what you ended up doing. When I found that when you applied for Next Big Thing, I was like, wow, chicken or the egg.
Right. It's really funny. And I'm glad you brought it up, because I will say, growing up, no one was, I mean, my name is Leda Nutt. You could take that however you want. Right. But I was teased mercilessly, and I loved it. It was fun. It was all in good fun. And when I started this project, I'm Dr. Nutt injecting balls or nuts. I just thought, every time I tried to talk to somebody, they would start laughing or not take me seriously. But nobody has brought it up except for my co-founder, actually.
Sorry to be the one.
No, I love it. I'm surprised I haven't been teased more about it.
So now I think we need to back up a little.
Sure.
What was your what was the idea that started this?
What started this is I happen to be a dog mom who happens to be a scientist. So I had four furry babies and I lived in Memphis. And right now, Memphis is amazing. Mass, right? Memphis Animal Shelter is doing an amazing job with the homeless population of dogs and cats. But when I first moved here in 2009, we were euthanizing up to 10,000 dogs and cats a year. It was just awful. And I thought, you know, I really, being a dog mom, I wanted to do something to contribute. And I thought, you know, they needed a better sterilant. And it just happens that I've spent my entire adult life understanding how cells die for the cancer field, right? Mm. So if you understand how a cell dies, then you can tweak that pathway so that it synergizes with a chemotherapeutic, right? And is more effective. And so I've literally done that. And so I know I'm really good at killing cells or killing things. I know it sounds terrible, but it's true. Well, as a cancer biologist.
That need to be. That's right.
Right. That's right. I only go for the bad cancers.
That's right. Thank
and
you for that.
So I was like, I can develop a sterilant. I know I can do this. So when I joined the program at UMemphis and the patents and products, they taught us very early on that customer discovery is absolutely crucial. And I was on the phone with Spay Mexico, and the gentleman was telling me, he's like, Lita, sometimes we go out in the field and all we have is betadine and fishing line. And that's when I realized you can't launch a new pharmaceutical product in the welfare space. It's not fair. They can't afford it, and it's just going to fail. So I needed to be able to increase the number of products that I sold so that I could drive that price down so that the welfare side of animals could I could attract them and help them. And I had piglets in the back of my mind because I knew about them, but this just pushed them into my forefront. And then what happened was I went into a barn and I fell in love. And now I can't, this has been my calling, right. I feel, honestly.
Well, they are very, very cute when they're little bitty piglets.
They are so cute. Even the big ones are cute too, actually.
They get as big as this table.
Yeah, they do.
It's amazing how much. How enormous they can get. Well, but so you said that you wanted to do it because, and I know from talking and hearing you at Next Big Thing, that also it's a very inexpensive product.
Right, so, absolutely. So if I were designing this sterilant in academia, I wouldn't have done it like this. And if my grad student had come to me and I would say, don't even bring it up. We can't get a grant funded on this. We couldn't even publish papers on it because it's something that's already known. So basically what I had to learn was I have to make this as cheap as possible, because what people don't realize is that these farmers are only making on average $10 a head on a pig, right? Mm-hmm. So if I come in there and go, I have a more humane way of getting rid of your boar taint issue, but it's going to cost you over a dollar. Well, they're going to go, you want 20% of my profit up to $2? Are you nuts? I mean, I'm working my butt off and you want 20%. Well, that's not going to go very far. So I knew that the dollar mark was my max, and I had to think of something that could fit that mold. And that's what I was able to do. So basically the sterilin is natural. It's circulating in your body right now. What I've done is you inject it into the organ that we're interested in. So then you have a higher concentration of that molecule, and that induces death of the cells that produce the hormones that create boar taint and make the pig unsellable.
That's fascinating.
Thank you so much. I'm glad I'm not boring you to death.
No, it's a great example of what companies do is often what we don't know needs to be done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you have a good idea. It's very specific, very unique, and you're executing it.
Wow. Thank you so
much. I'm curious, how long was the timeline of working with the University of Memphis and working with Epicenter to get to the point where you are today?
So I started officially December of 2019 to 2020, and essentially went into a pandemic. Yeah. So basically 2020 was
that. I remember that.
You remember that. So that pretty much curtailed things. So in 2021 is when I started cooking with gas. And to be honest with you, figuring out the sterilant was very easy for me. It's where my expertise is. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be harder than it was. It's actually quite simple. And when I did the experiments in rats, you know, 100% penetrance, it works amazing. I mean, it's like gangbusters. I couldn't ask for a better response. But when I went into the piglets, Now, that's where I didn't expect anything because, to be honest with you, I'm a researcher. I have a dog. I've had a cat. They were both castrated, right? Because we're in that kind of society now. Right. So I'm not used to genitalia. And I work with rats or mice in research. So I didn't know that the testicles of a piglet would be a lot different than the rat or a dog. And so I'm about to say something that's I hope it's not too rude. But so the rat or a dog has, we call them, we had to come up with terminology because no one's ever actually described them this way, have a pendulum-like testicle, right? So you can pull that scrotum 360 degrees around that testicle to stabilize it and to inject it. But cats and pigs have, their testicles are like pom-poms on either side of their anus. And so they only have 180 degrees of the scrotum. You can't stabilize that testicle. So what I didn't predict was when I went in there to inject a testicle, I wouldn't be able to hit it.
So what do you do then?
So what I'm doing is I'm creating a device that targets, stabilizes that testicle and delivers the payload accurately, taking all the problem solving out of that from the technician so that it's 100% accurate.
So it's not only the what, but it's also the how.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. Well, and I remember you also said that they have to, when you are producing a pork for bacon, they have to be
castrated
because of it makes better meat, basically. So
what happens is those cute little boys will go into puberty. And when they do that, they're making all these hormones. Well, one of them is called androstenone, and it accumulates in the fat. And when it does that, that's great if he's looking for a girlfriend because the girls love the smell. But unfortunately, if you cook that meat, it's in the fat and you sear it, you release that smell and it's pungent and it smells like urine and it's awful.
Thank you for doing what you're doing.
So that's why the farmers have to castrate. They're forced to do it, right? Otherwise, half their population they couldn't sell their half the population to market. So they had to, and there's no alternatives. So no commercially acceptable alternatives.
So this is something that I know that your target is on the pigs.
Right.
But this is something that Memphis Animal Shelter could
absolutely
use on. And have you done any of that testing to see about?
I haven't tested on cats or dogs. But I mean, the results in the rats will translate into any animal. Yeah. The difference will be the dose. And also the delivery method, right? And that's what I love about our device. You basically, it's just a gadget you change on the top. And you could go pig, you'd take the next one, it'd be cat, right? Cow, you know, dog. So
does this have to be government approved?
It does have to go through the FDA, absolutely.
And where are you in that process?
So we're still in the developmental process. Okay. I have an FDA consultant that's amazing, but we're not there. But I want to say something. So I get this question a lot, right? And everybody's afraid of the FDA. And I think a lot of investors are afraid of the FDA. And let me tell you why you don't have to be. Mm-hmm. The reason why they're afraid is 90% of the drugs that go into the FDA to be approved fail. And the reason why they do that is because they're going from a preclinical study in an animal now to a clinical level study in a human, right. And it doesn't translate.
Yeah.
The difference for me is I'll already have done all the studies in my preclinical animal. And it's the same animal when I go to the FDA, so I know the results. So the FDA, it's the Center of Veterinary Medicine. They aren't too, efficacy is important, but they know you have that ironed out. They're more interested in safety. And that's where we also have it in spades, is because what we're injecting is harmless. It's already circulating in your body.
Yeah. And I know that you said that your product is safer for the pigs because so many pigs, the way they do castration now with pigs, some don't survive.
That's absolutely right. So when a pig is born, they're with their mother suckling, right? And so that's when they do all the processing. So these pigs are processed, depending on the farm, between 3 and 5 days old. Well, when you are just castrated, you have a nursing response because you're in pain. So you want to go to mama and nurse. Well, mama doesn't see you back there because she's as big as this table. Now she goes to lay down and you're just miserable, but you don't want to run away because you're miserable and you want mama. Mama lays down and you get crushed. You're also more susceptible to, because you have an open wound, to infections. So the preemie mortality associated with castrations, castrations not themselves, but they can contribute to the preemie mortality of males, which costs the industry $1 billion a year.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So what is your timeline?
So what is my time? So I'd also like to talk to give a shout out to my co-founder, Seth Krantz. Dr. Seth Krantz is the chief veterinarian at Tosh Farms. Tosh Farms is a top 25 producer in the United States and the largest pork producer in the state of Tennessee. He is my chief veterinary officer, which I'm so thrilled about because Tosh is such a, they are, welfare is paramount to them. And so we're a good fit. And Tosh loves our idea and they want to help us get to the finish line. So we're still in development. We have the sterilant. Once we get the device completed, so we're still trying to get the device completed. And I'm actually in the process or gearing up to raise my pre-seed round.
That is just so amazing. What a cool concept. It's
well, thank you. I mean, thank you.
It's kind of taken these twists and turns.
Absolutely.
And didn't expect to be there when you were growing up, did you?
No, so it's so funny that you said that. So when I flew back from the Karolinska, Stockholm, I had a postdoc at Duke. Well, I left my car at my parents' house and I asked my dad if he would drive. They live in Alamogordo, New Mexico, if he would drive out to Duke with me so I didn't have to make that drive alone. Mm-hmm. And we actually drove through Memphis and I thought, oh, this will be the first time, Memphis. This will be the first and last time to see you. Never did I think, you know, in my early 30s that I'd be back here and starting a company that's coming up with a non-surgical solution to castration without anesthesia in piglets.
That's right. That's a unique formula.
That is.
So I can see that this is sort of your pathway.
Right.
But I also can see that you have a broader vision. So 10 years from now, what would your goals look like?
What would my goals look like? I don't, you know, I love that question because my goals are pretty lofty.
I'm not surprised.
So this has happened pretty organically, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that I said, you know what, your last name is Nutt. What could we do? You know, it just kind of organically happened. And Seth Krantz was when I realized I had to go into piglets, he was one of my first customer discovery calls, right? And when I called him and started initially communicating with him, I didn't think he would be my chief veterinarian officer. Right. And I didn't know that Tosh would be a partner in this for me. But Tosh is very interested in my ability to do research and solve problems to help the welfare of their animals. And that's a lot. I mean, it makes me so happy to be able to do that.
Exactly.
So,
the right partner.
I mean, if I'm going to shoot for the stars, in my human biomedical career, the big star was Genentech, right? Well, in the pig world, it's PIC. And that's how these companies get started, right? They're giving me bench space at one of their barns, right? I'm getting equipment. We're becoming best friends. And Seth and I are going to start solving a lot of problems and we'll see where we go.
That's awesome.
That is so exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, when we're talking about one of the things about Memphis,
right.
It's kind of known for being an entrepreneurial hotspot. Why do you think that is? What's been your experience?
So this is why Memphis is so good with entrepreneurs. And I said this when I was trying to recruit people to St. Jude. And that's that Memphis is a small pond, but it has some really big fish. Mm-hmm. And those really big fish care about Memphis. And so unlike other big fish in ponds, in our pond, those big fish are accessible. They actually care. Yeah. They actually have an open door and you can visit them. And that's what sets us apart from everybody else.
Or you can listen to the interviews on our podcast.
Absolutely.
Exactly. There you go. That's always a good place to start. Way to plug that, Jay. I'm impressed. So, well, that's awesome. So what else excites you about Memphis besides the work? What else out there is exciting to you?
About Memphis? I think that, you know, thank you to you guys for the greatest next big thing. And that's been amazing to me because of that experience, I've gained a mentor. And that's Carolyn Hardy, who owns Hardy Beverages. And she is one savvy business lady.
Yes, she is.
And, would like to be a savvy business lady because I've spent my entire career in academia. And although, you know, you learn how to do certain, you know, you get a couple $1 million grants. So you're kind of managing a small business, but it's not the same at the scale that she's done it. And she knows how to scale. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with her and learning what I can.
Yeah, she's a great resource.
Absolutely.
Season one.
Well, I'm so impressed, Jay.
So one of the questions we always ask our guests is whether entrepreneurs are born or taught. So given your experience, I mean, you're a scientist,
right.
But you're now becoming an entrepreneur. Was that like your original mindset? You were just waiting, or are you learning everything from scratch here?
I don't think I was I may have been born to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't know it.
There you go.
Okay. I had academia on my mind. Right. So I'm learning as I go. But what I would say is to anybody that's listening that is a scientist, don't shut your mind to this. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how happy I am. Yeah. I don't have even in academia, one of our bragging points is because we don't make a lot of money is that we have freedom, academic freedom. It's not as free as you think. It's not like being an entrepreneur. It's on a different level. Mm-hmm. And I am my own master and I am mission driven and I'm trying to create a profitable business around that. And that's very satiating for me.
So what would you say to somebody that wanted to start a business?
I would say do it. I would say absolutely do it. I think Memphis is a great place to do that. We have programs in place to help you get started. We have great mentors in here that are looking to want to help people that are hungry and want to get something done. But my biggest thing is do customer discovery. I mean, mm-hmm. I think those days of, oh, I have an idea and they will come, it doesn't work. You have to do your customer discovery. It's the most important thing you can do in your business. Be ready to pivot too. I mean, you have to be flexible.
I just am curious because one of the things that I think is very important as a business owner is to have a mentor.
Absolutely.
And you said that Carolyn has, how did that happen?
Did the next big thing, right? And I won and she came up and we spoke. And so I also know her daughter, Whitney, and I know about her product, Raleigh, and for hydrogen water for dogs. So I had some ideas that, like it could promote gut microbiota. And, I could help her with the research to do that. And we just started talking and she's like, Lita, I hope you know I'm investing in you. And now let's do this and this and this and this. And she's like, that's why we're doing the round table with you guys.
She's coming up in April, April 11th.
Top strongest women in, women business scions together. And I'm going to speak in front of them. And I'm just so grateful. I really am. I mean, she's amazing. I'm glad I'm good enough.
Well, I think that's great. And Carolyn did see exactly what the spark in you and sought it out. Yeah. But I do think it's so important if you are starting a business to seek that out and to find somebody that you can talk to. So through the process, what was the best advice you got from anybody through the process of starting and growing the business?
Through starting and growing the business. So I'm going to have to give a shout out to my husband because I couldn't have done this without him. So my husband is John Boughton. Mm-hmm. He's a partner at Inova Memphis. And before our careers were completely different. I was in academia and I just didn't care what he did. I was a terrible wife.
Oh, I doubt that.
And most scientists are narcissists. So to be a good one, you have to be. And so when I started doing this, I became more interested and he is amazing. And I didn't appreciate what an amazing investor he is. And he set the bar really high for me wanting to find investors. He mentors his startup CEOs, right? He's there for him. He reads documents. He's had a lot of experience so that they can call him and ask him because we're green. We haven't done this. He's sat on so many boards, right? And mentored a lot of CEOs and seen different stages. And so he's been a rock for me and very supportive because I started this at 50. And that's another thing I want to say. I think society will tell you that you can't start over at 50. And that's absolutely hooey. It's hard, but I don't think it's hard because you're 50. I think it's just hard. And try to cover your ears and put all that negative energy out and just keep going and you will succeed, I promise.
That's great.
Wow, I do. I love that. That's great. So a couple questions just for fun before we wrap it up. But what are three things that Lita Nutt cannot live without? You can't say faith, family, or friends because we know that.
Okay.
So what are three things you just can't live without?
So again, my husband, I can't live without him. Poor guy. Such a needy wife.
No. I think that's very, very, very wonderful.
And my dog, our last survivor, our little nut pack. And I love unsweet iced tea. I drink it like it's going out of style. So those are my three must-haves.
What kind of dog do you have?
He's a Pomeranian. I call him an unpurchasable. He's...
did you get him from MAS?
I didn't. So we actually got him somewhere in Bartlett. It was a backyard breeder. I didn't know what that was at the time. He's a lot older and I didn't know about breed specific rescues at the time. Mm-hmm. And highly recommend him. I mean, any breed of dog you want, there's a rescue for it.
Yeah, that's very true. Sure. So yeah. think that's great. And then one other question is that what is something about you that people would be surprised to know?
Oh, okay. So
can't be about John.
No. So when I went to college, right? I went to Texas A&M. I went to Texas Maritime Academy for two. So that's part of Texas A&M. So for 2 years of my 4 years, I was a merchant marine cadet. And so all my best friends from college are sailors.
That is super cool.
Yeah. So I can drink and cuss like a sailor.
Well, that's pretty impressive. There you go. There's something else we didn't know about you. I like it.
Must be why you're focusing on bacon.
Yeah. That's great. Well, this has been so much fun. Do you have any other questions, Shay, before I wrap it up? I'm so excited about what you're doing. I'm excited. Again, April the 11th, the roundtable meeting will be with Carolyn Hardy and Leda Nutt. I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that, but it'll be a great presentation on the importance of mentoring, which again, I think is one of the most important things you can have as an entrepreneur, somebody that you can lean on and run those ideas by. So we hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. It's been a lot of fun for us. And remember to like and subscribe on any platform that you desire. Thank you.